In the early 20th century, a new type of journalist emerged. The muckraker sought to expose corruption and exploitation, often by going undercover. Writer Barbara Ehrenreich has become famous for her modern-day muckraking. For her 2001 book, Nickel and Dime, she explored the impact of 1990s welfare reforms by taking low-wage jobs and living off her meager earnings. She has since become an outspoken critic of the rising income inequality in the United States. But Ehrenreich didn't start out as a writer or an activist. In fact, she actually earned her Ph.D. in cellular immunology. I had a chance to talk with Ehrenreich ahead of her lecture on American inequality at the Kellogg Auditorium in East Lansing this evening, so I started out by asking her why she made the switch from science to writing.
I just got tired of laboratory work, not of science. I'm still very much a science appreciator, you could call me, but I was not really great in a lab. And so I did many things, and I eventually found I was a writer.
Your book, Nickel and Dimed, was published in 2001 and explored the impact of the welfare reform of the 1990s on the working poor. You dove into this topic by taking low-wage jobs in Florida and Maine and trying to get by on the wages of the working poor. Why did you want to do this as an immersive experience rather than a more traditional kind of journalism where you're interviewing the people in those jobs?
Well, I'm not sure I wanted to. I was talking with a magazine editor about the assumption that if somebody gets a job, everything's all right. You know, they'll take care of their families and so on. And I was just pointing out, you know, you can see what is being offered as wages in entry-level jobs. And then you can turn the page of the newspaper. In those days, we had newspapers, and see what the rents were. And the math did not look good. So he said, why don't you go and try it? Try it for yourself.
Was there a point at which you regretted doing the first-person approach as opposed to the more traditional kind of journalism?
Well, yeah, it was hard work. The work was hard. Waitressing, house cleaning, hotel housekeeping, nursing home aide, Walmart associate. Work was very hard, but I think I found out some things I would not have found out if I had just interviewed in the traditional way.
Like what?
Like I found out how hard the work is. I mean, I'm a strong person. I've always been very fit, but sometimes after the end of a shift, my legs would feel like rubber. It was, you know, it was a challenge, physically and intellectually, keeping track of so many things. It was kind of overwhelming.
Nickel and Dimed was published almost 15 years ago. The economy has gone through the worst recession since the Great Depression in those years. How have you seen the conditions for low-wage workers change during that time?
Well, conditions have changed for the worse in many ways. To me, one of the most alarming trends is away from any kind of control over your own schedule at work. I mean, there are employers who want you to come in when they want you, but they're not going to pay for you to hang around anytime. They don't actually want you most. So you have to be by your phone, waiting to get called in. You have no idea how much work you're going to get in any one day or week, if any work. That's called sort of just-in-time scheduling. Mm-hmm. And this is very destructive. You can't plan. You can't arrange your child care. So that's one of the most alarming trends.
During the Great Recession, the economy collapsed not just for blue-collar workers, but for many white-collar and middle-class workers as well. Do you think that in the wake of the recession, that more people are paying attention to the issue of inequality?
Yes. So I don't know if it's totally the recession itself that sparked the attention. I think one of the big turning points was the Occupy movement in 2011, which made this a major issue. You know, you really could not talk about inequality very easily in this country before that, because there's always been a taboo. You know, then in the 50s and well into the 60s, it was the idea that America is a classless society. You know, the class differences are something that go on in Europe, not here. And it was really kind of unpatriotic to suggest that wasn't true. But we're way past that now. You know, if you look at the, well, I don't advise really looking at all of it, the presidential debates, and you know, it's something that even some Republicans have to deal with. And it's certainly the big issue going on the Democratic side.
Barbara Ehrenreich is the award-winning author of Nickel and Dimed, Bait and Switch, Bright-Sided, and Living with a Wild God. She joins us ahead of a lecture at the Kellogg Auditorium on MSU's campus this evening. There does seem to be increasing momentum for raising the minimum wage in states across the country. Do you think that there's enough political will to make those changes nationwide?
I think so. I'm sorry that Barack Obama hasn't kept his promises on that. But, yeah, I think there's plenty of them. This is something that most Americans absolutely agree on, that the minimum wage is too low and that low-wage working people deserve the chance to live decently, too.
Is it just about policy, or do you see a need for cultural changes, too?
Well, in a sense, I mean, the cultural change I would like to see most immediately is respect for people's work. I mean, there is a tendency in this country among the affluent, and they're not terribly affluent, to ignore the huge amount of work and sacrifice and effort that goes into feeding us, clothing us, getting us around, and so on. These people become invisible, and I want to change that.
I want to spend a little time talking about your newest book. It's a memoir called Living with a Wild God, and it was inspired by a journal that you kept as an adolescent. And in that journal, you wrote about several unexplainable experiences you had as a young person. Can you describe what those experiences were like?
Not too easy. We'll say perceptual alterations, which I was, you know, was sort of put out of my mind or in a corner of my mind for decades and decades. And then a point came a few years ago when I thought, you know, I'm sort of a scientist in the way I think. I've got to return. I can't have some unexplained phenomenon in my life forever. I've got to see what this was about.
I think some of our listeners are eager to hear at least the basics about one of these inexplicable experiences. Can you share one with us?
Well, you know, this is not something I sought or cultivated. I had no idea of, like, meditation or achieving altered states. I have really no idea of these things. So it was a complete surprise when I began to see things differently, even blazingly differently, even shatteringly differently for short periods of time. And what I discovered in working on this book is that that was hardly unique to me. Many people have unclassifiable, so-called mystical experiences, which they may fold into religion and say that must have been in a religious experience. I couldn't do that because I wasn't religious. I just had no way of thinking that way. So this is an unbeliever's attempt to understand such things.
One of the entries in those journals reads, and I'll quote, "I write this from a sense of duty, a feeling of obligation to my future self, whom I implore to read with compassion. What will I be, the person who, months later, reads this? Myself? The same as ever? What have you learned since you wrote this?" Unquote. Now, what were you thinking when you read that line so many years later?
Well, I was moved by it. Because here's how often you get a letter from your, say, 16-year-old self. And because I had this journal, I did have this communication from my younger self. I imagined myself reading it only a few months later after writing it. But in fact, it was decades later. Practically a lifetime later. And have I changed? Well, yeah, a lot of things happen in 50 years.
It took you a long time to write about these experiences. Was there something that was holding you back?
Yeah. People would think I was crazy. You know, that's the obvious in saying I've had some peculiar mystical experiences. I mean, the conversation doesn't go far from there usually.
Are you thinking about the next topic you want to tackle in your writing yet?
Oh, I'm writing another book now.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, this is a book that kind of takes on the whole idea that you should be doing everything possible to extend your life. You know, in our culture, it's the fitness culture, which I am a member of, I will have to admit. It's the emphasis on the almost, I would call it, neurotic emphasis on what you eat. Is it healthy? Huge amounts of worries, especially as you get to be in your 40s and 50s. You could be spending most of your time, or a lot of your time every day, just doing things to extend your own life. Not enjoy it, not do great things, but just live longer. And I'm taking that on.
Barbara Ehrenreich is the award-winning author of Nickel and Dimed, Bait and Switch, Bright-Sided, and Living with a Wild God. She'll be giving a lecture this evening at the Kellogg Auditorium in East Lansing at 7, and will be part of a panel discussion tomorrow at the Arca Theater from 5 till 7 p.m. Barbara Ehrenreich, thanks so much for talking to us.
My pleasure.